parsha discusses the mitzvah of Sfiras Oimah, and because Motzi Shabbos is Lag BaOmer, although some guys thought that tonight was Lag BaOmer, it's interesting. You know, the guys who thought this night was Lag BaOmer, all the guys who can't say the bracha on Sfiras Oimah because they're not counting, and they understand why. The numbers are confused. Mm. But I want to continue what we started talking about last week, but to go slightly deeper into what we were talking about last week, even though it's somewhat of a perhaps abstract concept, but I think it's of value to know it and to understand it. There's a very strange medrash, very, very strange medrash. In fact, I couldn't even find it in the medrash. I have absolutely no idea where it is, but it must exist because the Ravid, in his commentary on Maseches Tomid, quotes it, and he quotes it in the name of the medrash. And he quotes the following medrash: Shalu Talmidov Es Akiva ben Yosef. That the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva asked him a question. Talmidim Rabbi Akiva were sitting around with Rabbi Akiva, and they said, Rabbi, we want to ask you something. Bameh zachisa lechochma mefuara. How come you were zeicha to the chochma that you were zeicha, that when Moshe Rabbeinu hears a shir from you, he doesn't understand even what you're talking about, it's so deep, and that you're able to be derish tagim, right, the crowns on the letters in the Sefer Torah, you're able to do things in Torah that other people can't do. You reach the darga of Talmud Chochem, you reach the darga of knowledge and of Chochmas HaTorah, which nobody else did. What was so special that you did in the course of the time when you became a Baal Tshuva until today, that you were able to achieve what you achieved and nobody else, none of your contemporaries was able to do it? So he said to them, so the Midrash says that he turned around to them and he said to them, I'll tell you, he says, very simple. I was makpid about three things. Me'aylam le'hirharati le'dvar aveira. I was never even maharer. I never even thought about doing a dvar aveira. Le'dibalti im isha k'shaheis on nido. Never spoke to a woman if I was chayshish that she was on nido. These two things are understandable. In other words, these are things which are related to Churat Yerushalayim. In other words, not to be even Maharer B'dvar Aveira is a Darga in Yerushalayim. Okay, we're not holding there, we're far away from there, but it's a Darga. And Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. In other words, where does Chochma come from? It comes from Yerushalayim. Seder. Okay, I can understand that. Again, it's a siyog, it's a gedda, an arayas, it's a, who knows, what's Yerushalayim? It's Reish Yitzchak, Yerush Hashem. But then he says a third thing. And I once saw, I can't remember where, that where you find this situation where there are three reasons given for something, it goes in an ascending order. You know, it's Malim B'Kodesh. In other words, the first one is, you know, one reason, the second one is even bigger reason, the third one is even bigger reason. So here we're reading the cumulative reason, the reason why Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva. What does he say? Lo yistakalti b'koyanim. I never looked at the koyanim bizman shepolshim kapeyim, when they were polshim kapeyim, when they were duchanim. I never looked at the koyanim when they were duchanim. Huh? What's that going to do with becoming the God of Ador? In fact, you never looked at the Kohanim when they were Duchanim. What's the big thing about not looking at the Kohanim when they're Duchanim? Very strange Medrash. I saw this Medrash 2 days ago. Again, I didn't see the Medrash. I saw it quoted. The Ravid brings it. I saw it 2 days ago. And I thought it's very strange. And I want to suggest a certain mahalach here. I want to suggest a certain insight here as to perhaps, it's only a suggestion, to perhaps, what are Chazal talking about here? Why can Rabbi Akiva turn around and can Rabbi Akiva say that the reason why I reached the Darbe of Chachma Muflo was because I never looked at the Kohenim when they were Duchnim? But I want to introduce the answer with a different topic. An interesting topic, which needs some clarification. One of the basic Ikrei Ho'emunah, and in fact the first one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, on which the whole of Yiddishkeit basically revolves, right? The whole of Yiddishkeit doesn't start unless you have this starting point, is the existence of God, right? That God exists. Metzias Hashem, the existence of God. That's the starting point. What's interesting is that in reference to the mitzvah, which is negeya to the existence of God, we find something strange in the Rambam. The Rambam lists this mitzvah twice. Once in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and once in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah. And the interesting point is that when the Rambam lists it in these two places, he uses two different words, two different phrases. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says the first mitzvah of the Tariag Mitzvahs is Lahamin Be'alikus. The person is obligated, he has a positive mitzvah, he has to believe in God. Okay, fine. In Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, the Rambam says the same halacha, but he phrases it differently. And the Rambam says the same halacha using a different word. He doesn't use the word lahamin, to believe. The Rambam says the following, Yisrei Yisrei, the absolute foundation, the Amida Chochmas, and the pillar, in other words, that on which the whole of Yiddishkeit revolves around, is Leida, that a person should know. Sheyesh Shom Motzi Rishon Vehu Mamtzi Kol HaNimsa. There was a Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created everything. The existence of God. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he's talking about the mitzvah in reference to the existence of God, says that a Jew is obligated to believe. Well, we all know what that means. You have to believe. What believing is, we all know. You have to believe that there was a Mamsi Rishon, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Fine. But what does the Rambam mean when the Rambam says you have to know that there is a God, and you have to know that God created the universe? So there are those that maintain that maybe what the Rambam is trying to say is that the Jew has an obligation to become a philosopher. And he has to start trying to work out what, when, who's God, what's God? I don't know what you call today theology, I think. Right? The understanding of God. Right? Zohar says, in turn, reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that less machshav to the tefisa bein, we just can't even grasp what divinity is all about. It doesn't make sense to say that there's a mitzvah to say on an individual that he has to become the world's greatest philosopher, and if you haven't got a philosophic bend of thought, so what? So you can't be mekayim the mitzvah. No, all of us are philosophers. Right? But the emphasis is, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's a pasuk in Perek Gimel of Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says a pasuk. What does Shlomo HaMelech say in this pasuk? Shlomo HaMelech says the following. B'chol drachecha de'ehu. That a person has an obligation that b'chol drachecha, and anything that you do, de'ehu. You have to know the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? Anything situation the person is in, he has to be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Shabbat Soloveitchik of Boston, in one of his essays, brings a terrific story, which I love quoting, because I think it sums it up so well. He writes there that his grandfather, Reb Chaim Briska, and his uncle, Reb Meir Bar Ilan, went for a walk. They were in a seaside resort next to the Black Sea. And they were going out for a walk. It was evening time. They decided they want to get some fresh air. They're going out for a walk. So they went out for a walk. And they were walking together. And it was sunset. And the sun set over the sea. It was a very beautiful sight, that the color system, the sky was black, and then there was like the sun which was red, a band across the sky, and underneath it the water. It was a very, very beautiful sight. And Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was a very emotional person. He saw this and he gave a tremendous shout, and he said, Marobu Masecho Hashem, my God, Masecho Hashem. How great, how mighty are the works of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says, my grandfather of Chaim looked up and he saw the Shkia, and he said, Shkia, Seif Zman Tfilas Mincha, Seif Zman Tomit Shel Beinu Aboyim. The last possible time that you can daven Mincha, the last possible time ever. So Rav Shabbat says, think for a moment. He's two people see the same thing. They see the magnificence of the Shkia, the sunset. One sees the Musar angle, the Marobu Masecha Hashem, Magodu Masecha Hashem, and the other one sees Shulchan Aruch, Seif Zman Mincha. But both of them saw the same thing. Both of them saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. They saw the sunset and they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can go out in the evening and see the sunset. You can get up in the morning and daven Vasikin, you can see the sunrise. And you can look at it, and you can be an Ibn Chochem, and you can say to yourself, you know what? I once Googled that. I'll explain to you why it's so beautiful, because it's the reflection of the sun as it hits the blah, 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 and you've got it all worked out. That's one way of looking at it. But somebody else can see that and says to himself, it's true. Obviously, there are laws of nature. The world exists on the basis of laws of nature. But who created these laws of nature? Where did these laws of nature come from? Because there was a Ribbono Shel Olam here. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite wisdom, decided that it should be like that. The Medrash, Chazal say, it's a Medrash. Olahem l'Rishoyim. It's Rachmanis on Rishoyim. Why? Shekruim Mesim. Because they're dead. Why are they dead? Shari Odom Kom Shachris. A guy gets up in the morning, v'roya chamal b'zrichosa, and he sees the sun rising. If he's a Rosha, einei mevorech yetzai revorech chayse sholem mevorech sakol. So he's dead. If the natural response to seeing the sunrise isn't to say the bracha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is yetzai revorech chayse sholem mevorech sakol, you're dead. You may be walking around and breathing, but you're dead. And if it's Rachmanis, because dead people don't get too far in life. Ask the Chevra Kedisha, they'll tell you. That's Leida. Leida is when a person walks in the street and he sees a tree blossoming, instinctively he says a bracha. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam here, the Ribbono Shel Olam did something. The laws of nature exist, but they exist because there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Leida means. Leida means to know in everything that goes on around you that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's not only in nature that this is true. I was telling the story. There was another Gadol Moed, Gadol Hador, who I was able to be a Ben Bias in his house, Becheskel Abramsky. When he turned on the radio to listen to the news, he used to say always, let's find out what the Ribbon Shalom did in his world in the last hour. Then he would listen to the news. You can have a newspaper and see what's going on in the world. You don't have to come to a Rebbe Shmuz to be told what lies behind it. It's obvious there's a Ribbon Shalom lying behind it. Ribbon Shalom is doing something here. You can see it in the newspaper, you can hear it on the radio. In other words, on everyday life, a person should be living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Person's healthy. He's making a parnasa. Everything's going well. You should be able to see that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam around. Because if the Ribbono Shel Olam wasn't there, then the matzah wouldn't be the way it is. And Chas V'Shalom the opposite as well. Person's going through a difficult time. He's not by himself. There's Ribbono Shel Olam. There's Hashgacha. Kol Ma'adosa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tavo of it. Ribbono Shel Olam knows what he's doing. We don't understand it. We'll understand it later. We'll find out afterwards why it had to be like that. We'll suddenly realize 25 years later that what we thought was the biggest catastrophe 25 years ago was the best thing that ever happened to us. That's later. That's living with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Gemara in Chagiga, and the Gemara in Chagiga says the following: anybody who doesn't have sensitivity to the covet of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it would have been better for him not to have come into this world. Says the Gemara, what does it mean, anybody who doesn't have sensitivity for the covet of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Says the Rabbi Abba, somebody who looks at a rainbow. Says the Gemara, come again? Says the Gemara, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, Kemari akeshes asher yiyye ba'onan b'yayim ageshen. The picture of the rainbow on a rainy day, that is Mara Hanege Soviv Mara Dmus Kveid Hashem. That's the Mara Dmus Kveid Hashem. The Gemara really thinks there's some sort of dimyon between the rainbow and the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can look at the rainbow and you can give a correct and valid scientific evaluation of why this phenomenon occurs. And you're right. But if it stops there, you're dead. Because there's something going on behind it. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. If you see the rainbow, and you don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you've got no cover for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara there continues. And the Gemara says the following. Reish Lakish says, I'll go a stage further, says Reish Lakish. Anybody who looks at three things, Einov Kohes, his eyes become darkened. What are they? The Keshes, the rainbow, the Nosi, and Kayanim when they're duchening. What does that mean? The chest is precious. The rainbow, as we said, if you look at the rainbow and all you see is a rainbow, then you're dead. The Nasi was the Reish of Bezdin. The Rambam says he was ahead of the Bezdin HaGadol. The Rambam says he was a Chochem Mikulam. He was the Gedol HaDor. Tremendous intellectual capacity. Unbelievable analytical mind. An intuitiveness which is bordering on Ruach HaKodesh. A idea in Kol HaTorah Kula. You hear a shiur from him, and you go sugar from the svaras.
kach, but you have to make a bracha. But you don't make a bracha on the Talmud Chacham. You make a bracha asher cholak mi chochmasoi, that the Ribbono shel Olam gave him chochma. Because the Reb Chaim Volozhin says, and the Baal HaTanya says the same thing, exactly the same thing, word for word. Torah is the thought process of the Ribbono shel Olam. Somebody who sits and learns and is consistent and reaches a darga trains his mind to think in the way in which the Ribbono shel Olam kavyachol thinks. And that is the highest darga of dveikus with the Ribbono shel Olam. He becomes unified with the Ribbono shel Olam. He's thinking kavyachol in the way in which the Ribbono shel Olam thinks. Therefore, if you see the Nasi and you say, wow, that's an Einstein, you're dead. Because when you see the Nasi, what you should be saying to yourself is, whoa, Chachmas HaBeira. The Kerem in the Beit HaMikdash, when they duchened, what's the bracha that they have to make? They have to make a bracha. The bracha is ba'avo. Birchas Kohanim is an expression of avo klapei the tzibur. Birchas Kohanim has something about it which no other mitzvah has. There's a tremendous debate, tremendous machlokes amongst the Peskim as to whether you say he rotzen before you do a mitzvah. There's one mitzvah where everybody agrees you have to say he rotzen, and that's the kohen. The kohen before he duchens, everybody agrees he says he rotzen. There's no machlokes about it. What's the he rotzen that he says? Shetehei abrocha azay shesivisonu levarech esamcha Yisrael brocha shleima v'loi yiyeh boi shum michshul v'oven me'atov yad olam. There should be a bracha shleim, and there shouldn't be any michshul, any sin in this mitzvah that I'm doing. Well, that's true of every mitzvah, so why didn't Dafka say about Birchas? Why is the Kohen Dafka say about Birchas Kohanim? Why didn't you say about all the other mitzvahs? Because if the Kohen is being mevorech and he hasn't got a hagosha of avo, then it's a michshul and an oven. Because that's the whole yisoid. There's a very interesting Rambam which is not paskin v'alocha l'maisa. The B'shas, and in fact it's a very interesting Rambam because it's not mefurish in the Gemara anywhere. But B'shas, the Kohanim go up to Duchen, the Rambam emphasizes that Aindim Shom, they stand there, Pneim Laheichel, the Achireim Klapeyom, they stand there with their backs to the Tzibur, the Etzbo'isehem Kfufois Leteich Kapeyhem. And they should clench their fists. Ad sheyashlim shliach tzibur ha'idah, until the shliach tzibur finishes saying moedim, then says the Rambam, they turn around, open their hands, and say the bracha. Now, the halacha is that they don't have to turn around, open their hands, but the part where they have to stand when they're not facing the tzibur, when their backs are to the tzibur with their hands closed, that is not the halacha l'maisa. The Rambam holds that it's not mefurish in the Gemara. What's the idea that lies behind it? Open hands is to give. Closed hands is to take. Egoism. It's a fasuk in the Torah. The Torah, whenever it talks about not giving, like tikvas es yodcha me'achicha evyon, not giving staka. Don't be. It's an English expression. Tight-fisted. Keep it to yourself. Because the whole yisoid of Birchas Kohanim is Ava. How do you respect a person, Kohen, standing Mr. Kohen? Right? Well, how's he meant to get the Hagosha? The answer is, if you think for a moment, you would say, well, that's the Ribbono shel Olam works. There are a lot of people floating around that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has plenty of tainas on and shouldn't really be their great ayav. Yet the Rebbeinu Shlomo's got an ayav of everybody. So there may be people in the Tzibur I don't like too much as well, but to hold that. The work is on Yisrael ba'av. So anybody standing in the audience who sees the Kohen making the bracha ba'av and emphasizing the concept of Ava, what's he meant to see? He's meant to see the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And if he doesn't see the Rebbeinu Shlomo, he's dead. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said, "Lo yistakalti b'kohenim b'zman shepolsim kapeyam." I didn't look at the Kohenim when they were duchenim, because I saw something else. When I saw the Kohenim duchenim, I saw the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It was a kiyum din in the leida, in knowing the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The obligation of the Jew is the experiential. And that's what somehow Western society seems to be lacking in. We're very good when it comes to intellectually understanding, but to live something, I don't live it. There's a disconnect between understanding what's going on in our mind and experiencing. We don't experience in the way in which we should. There's a very famous story in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos tells us a story. The Gemara in Makkos says that after the Chorban of Yerushalayim and the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues shamim kol hamoina shoraimi. They heard the tumult of Rome, and they started crying. Rome is living it up, and Yerushalayim is destroyed. And Rabbi Akiva laughs. And when they ask Rabbi Akiva, "Why are you laughing?" he says, "Uma la ivrei ritzayne kach. If these were Shoyim are living it up, la Yisrael ritzayne alachas kama v'kama. How much more so we who do the rots of the Rebbeinu Shlomo will live it up." The Gemara in Makkos, Nafkaf Dalad Amud Beis. The Gemara continues and says that they saw the Beis Hamikdash and it was Chorev. And they all tore Kriya and started crying. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva also tore Kriya because that's the halacha. The halacha is Arei Yerushalayim B'chorbanah has to tear Kriya. Then they saw a fox, a shual, coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they start crying and Rabbi Akiva laughs. And they say to Rabbi Akiva, "Why are you laughing?" And Rabbi Akiva says, "If the Churban of Yerushalayim, the way in which Uriah HaNovi prophesied, is actually taking place, down to the last detail that there will be foxes running out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we see that the Nevuah is fulfilled, then Avada, the Nevuah of Zechariah, that Yerushalayim will be built, will also be fulfilled." So they didn't see it. Again, it's a question of perspective. Because the Rabbi Akiva Lishitose. In everything Rabbi Akiva saw, his perspective was different. They saw physical Matzias in front of them. The Chorban of Yerushalayim. That's what they saw. He sees the Nevuah. The Nevuah of Zechariah. The Nevuah of Binyan Yerushalayim, the Nevuah of Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, he sees it. He sees the Matzias in front of him. In the same way as when he sees Birchas Kohanim, he doesn't see Kohanim standing in front of him. He sees the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Ava. In the same way as when he sees the Keshes, he doesn't see the Keshes, he sees the Rebbeinu Shlomo. When Rabbi Yashiv was in hospital 2 years ago, he was in the hospital for a relatively lengthy period of time. He had a doctor, a famous professor, who was dealing with it, with his problem. And after he'd been there for some time, the professor came to examine him, and he finished the examination, and Rabbi Yashiv said to him, "When can I go home?"
So he said to Rav Elazar, if you're asking me medically, you can go home. In other words, there's no pikuach nefesh involved, as everyone's saying. In other words, you don't have to stay here because it's dangerous for you to leave. That not. But if you're asking me as a friend, I would say to you, stay another couple of days, so we can just make sure that 100% is okay. So Rav Elazar said to him, it's very difficult for me because I have a huge problem. So the professor, who was friendly with him, he said to him, well, what's your problem, Rabbi? He said, I've got these two people who come to see me every day. And this has been going on already for 90 odd years, he says, that they've been coming to me. Every day they visit me. And it's very important for me, their visit. And I've been in the hospital a couple of days and I've missed them. I don't want to miss them in another couple of days. So if you tell me that medically it's not because nefesh, it's not a problem, sakana, I can leave. I'd like to leave because I'd like to meet up with them again. So the professor said, fine. Sign the papers, the release papers. And he went out of the room. The story is told over by one of the people who was there. He turned around to Rav Elazar and he said, Rebbe, he said, just a matter of interest, who are these people who have been coming for 90 years to you? He said to the doctor, you don't know them. He said, they're very old, very old, very old men. One called Abaya, one's called Rava. Very old men. You can learn a Shtikh Gemara. You learn a Shtikh Gemara. Or you can live with Abaya and Rava. You can be walking around with Abaya and Rava. You can come to the Vesemirish because you've got a tutor waiting for you. You can come to the Beis HaMedrash because you have a feeling of responsibility, it's a higher darga. You can come to the Beis HaMedrash because you believe, Amin, that a Jew is meant to learn. You can come to the Beis HaMedrash because you've got Hagosh, Abaye and Rebbe sitting there waiting for you. He's waiting for you. In the Chassidish world, Lag BaOmer is a very important day. In the non-Chassidic world, other than the ability to be able to shave, take a haircut, and according to some people, finish the Yemei HaAvelus of Sfira, and according to others, even if you don't finish the Yemei HaSfira, but carry on until Rosh Chodesh, till Gimel Sivan, but you can make weddings. Nothing more than that, as far as the non-Chassidic world is concerned. As far as the Chassidic world is concerned, Lag BaOmer is a very important day. It's a very important day because it's the Yod site of Shem Bayachai. Shem Bayachai was Megala Dezayah, was Megala Pnimiyas Atera, which plays a big role in Chassidic thought. So by Chassidim, Lag BaOmer was a very important day. And by Chassidim, and Anshei Yeshiva Yoshen in Yerushalayim, it was important to get him around Lag BaOmer. And Miron was, as the Chassidim call it, the strange synthesis of Yom Kippur and Simchas Torah. Yom Kippur inside the Mora and Simchas Torah in the Chotzer. Because that's what Miron Lag BaOmer is all about. Tefillah inside the Mora and the Simcha in the Chotzer. But if you're going to take that route, which is legitimate, you have to understand that it's not just Stam Atiyul. It's Lag BaOmer. The guys who went tonight, tonight's what? Loy BaOmer. Because they're doing everything which is the antithesis of what Omer is all about. So the Rebbe Shalom says to them, but they just don't hear, Loi BaOmer, what you're doing is not. And Rav Yosef writes in his tshuva, Rav Yosef is very strong, that one should not go to Meron on Lag BaOmer. He's very, 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 very emphatic about it. In fact, I heard his son on the radio 2 days ago saying that this is one of the things that he was constantly repeating in the house, not to go to Meron on Lag BaOmer. For a variety of reasons. One of which was that I understand, he said, as far as I know, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is inside the 52 volumes of Shas. So if you really want to celebrate the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why not learn through all the memoriam of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Shas, in the Beis Medrash? It's probably a much bigger ilu neshama than watching TV in a tzimmer next to Meron. But it's assuming that, yes, we know it's Meron. It has to be a leida. You have to go to Meron and understand it's not a teal. It's not a barbecue. It's not a bonfire. It's a makom tefillah. It's a place where in the Chassidus Sforim it says that the tefillah of the person is mispalan on Lag BaOmer, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Kedai Rav Shimon Lismech Alav, Rav Shimon Daz. Rav Shimon is poil for us. It's a very serious. If you look at the descriptions of the Zikne Chassidim, we used to go, as you saw this week, on the famous Kalina Chassidim, who was one of the people who instituted this union of going to Meron. They write that when he got inside the Mora, when he got inside Siyam, they used to have to hold him from both sides because he was shaking from trepidation. They asked him, what, he said, Rav Shimon. He said, how can you stand here? You have to go with that. Mahalach. You have to go with the Mahalach of something which lies behind it. And you have to follow the taka we should attain this Haragosha. The problem is that everything has become chitzenius. Everything has become totally superficial. The Indian Sforim, I mean, certainly for, as I said, certainly for Siddim Ashkenazim, I don't know, I can quite understand how the Sforim get into this, but the certainly for the those coming from the Chassidish background, I thought it was an Indian going to Iran. But you go, you've got a 3-hour trip on the way, you can finish the whole Sefer Tehillim on the way, you get there, you follow there by the Mora, you misameach that we have the Torah and that we have Pnimius HaTorah. You spend your hour there, and you've got another 3 hours on the way back where you can say the Sefer Tehillim again. You can get through Sefer Tehillim twice. Right? It's not such a big deal. I know somebody, my wife, she does it every year. She gets through Sefer Tehillim twice. Once on the way there, once on the way back. Down as Mincha. So the whole thing takes. The whole thing shouldn't, besides I'm talking about the journey, the whole thing shouldn't take more than half an hour, 45 minutes. The whole, if you're serious about it. Hopefully nobody here is making chalaka for any of their kids, and that's not an issue. And it's not a tourist site, and it's not an occasion for a teal, it's an occasion where you can be mispalo, you can be mekayim the leida, you can see Erlich Eden. If you manage to get inside, it's not easy, but if you manage to get inside, you see how they're davening, how they're being misameach. And that's it. Let's try and be a little bit more depth. Just take a more depth to us, not to be so superficial. Each one of us is sitting here. Yeah, we're here for a reason. We want to change. Yeah, we all know, we know all the routines. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time. It's true. It's all true. But it's not going to happen at all if we don't try, in each stage, a little bit more depth, a little less superficiality, a little more elenskai, a little more seriousness about what Yiddishkeit is all about. You're davening, you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're learning. So you've got a meeting with the Baal Rova. You're walking around, you see the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not demands which are who knows what. It's just a little bit more. I overheard a conversation today. I was walking out here. I overheard a conversation today. It's irrelevant, but it just struck me something. I always say this, of course, nobody understands what I'm talking about, but you will do one day. That, you know, you're living in a Gan Eden, you guys. You've got no daigers, and yeah. But the average person he's under tremendous pressure. All sorts of pressures. When you have a family, when you have responsibilities, etc. And it comes to Shabbos, and the Shabbos basically is a matana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a time when a person, besides the fact that the physical all that a person has during the week, he doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to worry about financial issues, he doesn't have to worry about this, he doesn't have to worry about that. Besides that, but it's a time when basically all you really. You can devote yourself totally to davening and learning. There's absolutely nothing else which really, there's no phones to take your mind off things, there's no cell phones ringing every 5 minutes with very important messages. How you doing? Huh, fine. How you doing? 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 Fine. Which is basically the intellectual content of most conversations that you guys have on your cell phones. You're doing great, mate. You're doing great. Great. Yeah. You're doing great, yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm doing great as well. Yeah. Yeah. And then the next one, the same conversation, the next one, the same conversation, the next one, the same conversation. You haven't got any cell phones, and you haven't got any of this. Yeah? Nothing at all. Yeah. And then you get involved in making chomps, and it becomes the prime issue. And it becomes an avida share to which the Kenim, when they were offering up the Tmidim Kasidron, right, didn't get so involved in it. Chom, cut up potatoes, a few beans, and a piece of unidentifiable object called an Israel meat. So, it becomes a whole science for the whole day. He does this, stomach cramps for 4 days. Well, that's the Shabbos. And then you eat the chom. Right? And then you knock back your 6 bottles of wine, and then you're oblivious to what's going on around you until Motsi Shabbos, and you don't even realize the Shabbos went by. Unken learn and unken daven and go on and stand. Pause, now think. China. A little bit of depth, not so much superficiality. Not asking you to be a prime Konyeskis. Just a little bit more. A little bit more seriously. There's somebody, comes to daven Shabbos morning, somebody waiting for you there. Ribbono Shel Olam is waiting there. Whatever the time is. So you didn't make it. And I always say this, it's something which is beyond me. It's beyond me. The Shabbos morning, you're not going anywhere, you don't have to go to town, you don't have to do any important things that, what you have to do the whole time. Nothing. So you didn't make it for davening in Yeshiva. Right? So you didn't make it, it could happen. Not the end of the world. I'm not timing this the end of the world. But there's no shortage of minyanim in the Shkhanah. We start long after the Yeshiva starts. If the Yeshiva starts now, what, 8:30? Right? You've got minyanim at 9:15, and you've got a minyan at 9:30 as well. And 9:45 you can also find a minyan. So you're making Yeshivas. Get up, come down with a minyan, come, Shachris, Kisatir, Musaf, like a mensch. What's going to happen? I mean, Mr. Chomp. Stickle with my hands, kind of. More depth, more seriousness.